Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, a little rage on a Wednesday. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Henry Lake, Christopher Tubbs, final hour of the Lake Show here on this Wednesday evening. Chris off tomorrow. Lindsey Brown in studio with me producing. I know that Stephen Silton's going to be here on the show tomorrow night in studio. He's going to get into the whole UMG Drake lawsuit thing. That's going to be real interesting for him to be here. But right now, let's dive into around the NFL.
Well, I'm glad we're going to do around the NFL tonight with me being out tomorrow. So it worked out fine. I mean, we could have done it on Friday, too, but it's kind of fun to do it midweek.
We can do whatever, whenever we want.
Hey, you program the show, you know? You're on the marquee. I don't even...
I love it. Text line.
I mean,
we
I...
We love a text line.
Yeah. No, we do. All right, so outside of the quarterback and the defensive coordinator question, what is the top priority for the Vikings?
I don't even think it's a secret. Cornerback, your secondary. They have to address the secondary. Like, we don't know if Harrison Smith is going to be back. Cam Bynum is a free agent. You need cornerbacks. Like, you were able to get through this season with Stephon Gilmore. You don't anticipate he's coming back. Like, he's up there in age. So, yeah, to me, it's obvious that it's your secondary. Do you agree?
I thought you would have said the interior offensive line. Because that, I mean...
It's going to get better just by the... You know it's going to get better.
Oh, yeah. It can't get any worse.
You're going to get... Well, no, your secondary is more... You're going to be a better offensive line because you're getting Christian Darrisaw back. Like, him being back, and I know that he's your left tackle, and you got, you know, he's not the only offensive lineman.
Yeah.
But your cornerbacks are on an island, and you don't know who your safeties are going to be. So I don't even think it's close. Okay. It's the secondary.
Okay. To me, I would say the interior offensive line, because Kevin O'Connell, he mentioned it at his, you know, press conference, that this is one of the things we need to get better. And we saw it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. If you don't have any time to throw, mm-hmm. I mean, you got a dude in your face. You know, he's doing the whole John Cena, putting your hand in front of your...
Unless it's Patrick Mahomes.
We're going to get to Patrick Mahomes here in a minute, speaking of which. Okay, so with Aaron Glenn going to the New York Jets, he was named the head coach of the New York Jets, former defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions.
Yep, former player.
Former player, yep, played for the Jets.
He was a good player, too.
He was a really good player. Ben Johnson... The offensive coordinator, former offensive coordinator for the Lions, going to Chicago. Dan Campbell's lost his two top assistants.
Yep.
What is the NFC North pecking order now? Because, I mean, it's okay to lose one, but he's losing two in the same offseason.
The pecking order, I would say at this... This is before you replace free agents and all that stuff?
As of right now, this moment, January 22nd, 2025.
Okay, the pecking order would be Detroit's still the team to beat.
Okay.
Even without those defensive coordinators. Like, if Dan Campbell was savvy enough and smart enough to hire two coordinators that were really good, he might be able to do it again. So I give him the benefit of the doubt until we see otherwise. I'm going to go Detroit. I hate to say this. Green Bay.
Oh, you love Jordan Love, though. I mean, I like Jordan Love.
They've got a really good coach, and they've got a quarterback. The only reason why I say Green Bay over Minnesota, we don't know where our quarterback's going to be.
Yes,
so
that is correct.
Green Bay, then Minnesota, and then Chicago. They got everything to prove. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody was all in on Chicago this year, and then they didn't do a damn thing. Mm-hmm. They got to prove it. Not back it up, because they didn't do anything this year. They have to prove it.
I'm very curious how Ben Johnson does, because Matt Nagy came from a very good team in Kansas City. It was their head coach, and it didn't work for him. And, I mean, Ben Johnson is really good.
But the question was always, Nagy, is he calling the plays?
Yeah, and well,
Ben Johnson was truly the offensive coordinator.
Well, and that was also one of the questions about Kevin O'Connell. Like, he didn't call the plays, but
I think he can be overrated.
He designed the offense.
Yeah.
All right, so with
But that's part of what gives people more credit than others in certain spots.
Yeah, and I think the calling the plays, I feel like that's overrated to the point that you can call the plays, but if you don't understand the complexities of the offense, like, you might know, but in terms of the little idiosyncrasies, those might get lost. That's why I think Kevin O'Connell, for the most part, even with a lack of a running game, is a very good play caller because he schemes his guys open. Okay, so now you've got four openings. Dallas, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, and New Orleans. Does Brian Flores get one of those four vacancies? Because I heard him connected to the Jets job, but they went with their defensive guy in Aaron Glenn. Do any of those come calling for Brian Flores?
No. I think that the way that things are shaking out, I'm not sure that Brian Flores is going to end up getting a head coaching job this cycle. Now, do we think that the whole lawsuit thing is playing a bigger part of this than maybe previously acknowledged? Maybe. But I just don't see it happening in Dallas with Jerry Jones. Jerry clearly, a lot of people are linking Kellen Moore to that job. The Jacksonville thing, I just feel like they're going to go Robert Saleh. Las Vegas? Who knows?
Mike McCarthy, be a perfect fit.
New Orleans. So we'll see. We will see. But no, of those four vacancies, mm-hmm. I don't think he gets a job out of that.
Yeah, I feel like the Jets was probably the best opportunity because you look at where they're at right now in terms of what they've got defensively. I think it would have made a really good fit. Okay, so lots been made over the officiating in the Texans-Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Well, a couple weekends ago. Or last weekend, actually. Will Anderson with a shot to Mahomes, you know, looked like got him in the shoulder. It was called a helmet-to-helmet. There was another hit where a Texans defender, Mahomes was sliding. The Texans defender hit his own man, mm-hmm. called for a penalty. And, I mean, those are fine. But there was a play where Patrick Mahomes was running out of bounds, and he was taken down. There was an unsportsmanlike conduct. But here's my question to you. Patrick Mahomes came out and said, in terms of the over-exaggeration, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Should the NFL...
Good on him to acknowledge that.
Yeah. Does the NFL have a flopping problem like the NHL and the NBA?
No, absolutely not. I mean, flopping in the NFL is rare. It's a rare occurrence. Does it happen maybe once a game? Probably, but it's yeah, no, they don't have a problem. Like, does it happen on occasion in the National Football League? Yes, I agree with you. It happens on occasion. But do they have a flopping problem? Absolutely not.
I think that this is, it's interesting when, you know, you had your conversation earlier on in the, you know, in the week, night, because as I was listening and, you know, you were talking about the hatred for the Chiefs, I feel like part of this is, it's not necessarily the success that the Chiefs have had, but Patrick Mahomes has gotten to a point where the embellishing just gets a little old at times. When you've got Troy Aikman and Joe Buck and you've got the officiating mm-hmm. expert, because every broadcast has, and I can't remember who it is, but when you've got them all saying that, you know, this is, you know, these calls should have been called, it's, you know, you can't, you know, couldn't disagree more with it. I feel like Patrick Mahomes is starting to, his greatness is going to be overshadowed by some of the antics, kind of like LeBron. Like, LeBron, great. But I feel like there are some things with LeBron that people are like, dude, just knock it off. It's a little over-exaggeration. You don't need to over-exaggerate things. I feel like people kind of feel that way with Patrick Mahomes and his...
I don't at all.
Okay.
I don't think that any... Like, what other than maybe one or two plays in his career, Are we talking about Patrick Mahomes in the light of, like, there's like a top 10 list of flops? For that's not a thing. That's not a real thing. No one's talking about Patrick Mahomes in that way. Like, right now, we are in a place where people are agitated because they continue to win. All we do is win no matter what.
No one looks at
Patrick Mahomes as a flopper.
But he exaggerates things. I mean, let's see.
How often?
He's quite a bit.
No.
Yeah, quite a bit. And I'm not crapping on the guy. I'm not.
Well, you kind of are, because I don't think that's real.
Well, it is real. It is real. It absolutely is real.
No, it's not. I'm gonna tell you why it's not.
It absolutely is.
I'm gonna tell you why it's not. We're talking about this today because somebody brought this up this past weekend. This has never been a topic in sports ever. There's never been on Get Up, Around the Horn, no other television show that we've seen or any topic we've done on Patrick Mahomes where we're calling Patrick Mahomes a flopper. It comes up because of this past weekend, people felt a certain way about a player too. Like, that's not a theme. I'm not saying
your Kansas City stuff's coming through. Man.
No, I'm not saying that it doesn't come up after this past weekend. But what I'm saying is that's not been a talker prior to this weekend.
But you the antics get old. The you know, constantly whining about.
It's everybody like whines.
He's getting into Aaron Rodgers territory.
Oh, stop.
I mean,
you're
no, and I like Patrick Mahomes, but he comes off as a whiner. He comes off as a whiner.
No, I disagree.
He's too good to be bitching about things.
I disagree with
Patrick
you.
Mahomes.
I'm not trying to be Team Kansas City here. I think that this is way overblown. As Jason Reed from ESPN said as much here on the Lake Show, 7 o'clock hour. Check out the podcast page, ESPN Zone.
Jackson Mahomes is the better Mahomes anyway. Okay, give me Jackson Mahomes over Patrick Mahomes any day of the week. Doing the TikTok dance and all of the Jackson Mahomes things.
Oh, Jackson Mahomes. I totally forgot about him. Now I'm pissed.
Good, you're where I'm at. Good, we can both have a Mahomes to be pissed at. Good. Okay, so finally. So on the other side of that.
What should we find? We got a couple other things to get to.
Do we?
Yeah.
I don't know how many. Okay, yeah, we do have a few more things. Okay. See, you got me all
hot
and bothered tonight over Jackson Mahomes and Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes.
It's not Maryland.
It's Mahomes. Okay. So the NFL reissues a $25,000 fine to Joe Mixon after initially punishing him for comments he didn't make. Okay, so Mixon.
So wait, walk me through this again.
Okay.
What happened?
So Joe Mixon criticized the referees after the Texans lost to Kansas City.
Yeah.
And he just said, everybody knows how it is playing up here. You never leave it into the ref's hands.
Okay.
The whole world can see. But then.
Wait, he actually said that.
He said that.
Yep.
But he was fined. Mixon and his agent, they said he was fined for saying something on social media that TJ Houshmandzadeh said. Why play the game if every 50-50 call goes with the Chiefs? These officials are garbage and biased.
Okay.
That is from TJ Houshmandzadeh,
former
Bengals wide receiver.
Yeah.
The NFL.
And the Bengal tie is that Joe Mixon was a former Bengal.
Joe Mixon was a former Bengal.
Yep.
So here's my question. Does the NFL take this back?
Yeah.
I mean, because Joe Mixon.
Yeah, you find him for what he said about the officiating.
Yes.
But you can't find him what somebody else said.
No.
That's ludicrous.
I mean, it is kind.
I mean, don't find us for what Chad Hartman said earlier today.
I mean, the NFL. I mean, my God, you're fining the guy for something that a former teammate said.
They never play together.
No, but I mean, they played.
Well, same organization.
Same organization. Yeah, they never actually overlap, but. Yeah, he got fined for saying, why play the game if every 50-50 call goes with the Chiefs? These officials are garbage and biased. Well, yeah, that was TJ Houshmandzadeh. That wasn't Joe Mixon. And by the way, TJ Houshmandzadeh, championship. Remember that fantasy football commercial? Where it's like you draft TJ Houshmandzadeh, then you're like, championship. All right, let's get to a couple more here because I know we're running a little bit. Let's get to the games at hand then. You got Washington at Philly.
Okay.
The early game. I know Jason Reed said he likes the Commanders. Eagles, I think they're like 8-point favorites at home. Jalen Hurts has got that knee issue. You know, they might have some problems in the secondary, but Jalen Carter's a beast. I mean, they've already beaten Philly before this year.
And the Commanders have an offensive line issue because they lost one of their offensive linemen to a torn ACL last week.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Jason Reed from ESPN. He said this is set, it's going to be shown for his picks here going into the weekend. I agree with him. I think that Washington is going to get it done. I'm concerned about the Jalen Hurts injury. Like, I think the knee thing is going to be problematic, so I'm going to go with the upset.
I could, you know, Eagles are -6. It's an over-under 47.5.
Wait, the Eagles are favored by 6?
Yeah, Eagles by 6.
Oh, I'm definitely going with the Commanders.
Yeah. I think you look at how they played last week against Detroit, they're not going to be intimidated. Plus, they've already played in Philadelphia. Now, that was a game that the Eagles won, 26-14.
Yeah.
But I want to say just a few weeks ago.
In Washington, they won.
Yeah, in Washington,
yeah,
they won.
They screwed up a parlay of mine, too. All I needed them to do was, yeah.
That's why you remember.
To just win.
Just win,
not
baby.
Even cover points, just win flat out.
Just win flat out win, straight up.
Ticked me off.
I think Jaden Daniels.
No, my bad. I needed the Eagles to win.
Oh, you needed the Eagles to win. Okay. Yeah. All right. I was a little like, okay.
Confused, yeah, my bad.
Got it, okay.
I described it wrong.
I think I'm going to have to go with Philly, but I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to be much of a factor. This is going to be a Saquon Barkley game. I don't think you're going to see Jalen Hurts run, but this is going to be one of those that Jalen Hurts is going to be in the pocket. I mean, he's got to get the ball to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. I mean, I was right on with the Commanders beating the Lions last week. Little off with Saquon Barkley not having a really good game against... who did they play? Who did Philly play last week? The Rams.
Last week they played the Rams.
They played the Rams, yeah. All right, let's get to the AFC because the AFC is kind of the one that everybody's looking at. The Bills and the Chiefs. I mean, Buffalo eventually has to get over the hump, but the problem is you're playing in Kansas City. And, I mean, Kansas City is just...
I'm going with the home field here.
Yeah, I mean, who's the only team? I mean, isn't Cincinnati the only team to win an AFC championship game in Kansas City? I think everybody else has come up short.
I don't know if it was championship, but New England and Tom Brady went into Kansas City and won. I don't know what – I can't remember what level game that was, though. Tom Brady and the Patriots went into Kansas City and won a game.
Okay.
We'll have to – let me. You know what? I want to look that up because I want to be accurate about that.
Yeah, because I can't remember – I remember because that's when – was it Evan McPherson hit that – I think he was a rookie and he hit that field goal, and then that's where the whole Burrowhead thing came up. Because like Cincinnati is like, oh, this is Burrowhead. And then that – got Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and everybody all in their feelings, and now it's been a personal thing between the Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, no. You're right about that. The AFC Championship game,
mm-hmm.
The New England Patriots defeated the Kansas City Chiefs 37-31. That was 2019. So that was the year in which... That was when Tom Brady and the Patriots lost to Philly.
Okay.
Remember they lost in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yes. Yes. I remember that. I was there because that was, yeah.
That was here,
yeah.
Yeah, but that year in the AFC Championship, it went to overtime and it was.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Wasn't, yep.
Yes, I remember the overtime game.
Brady threw for 348 yards. So those are the only two. Was Brady leading the Patriots into Kansas City and winning, and then you had...
And then the Bengals.
Yep.
Okay.
Because that final score...
It's like...
That was the... Like, Rex Burkhead scored the winning touchdown.
Rex Burkhead. Yes. Everybody remembers Rex Burkhead.
Everybody
remembers. He's the Mike Allstott.
Jeez, going back and looking at this, Sony Michel had 113 yards. Julian Edelman had 96 yards. Guess who the top rusher for Kansas City was that day?
Priest Holmes?
Damian Williams.
But Damian Williams.
He had 30 yards. Receiving yards, 114 for Sammy Watkins.
Ah, yes, Sammy Watkins.
All right, we went way over.
No, that's okay. So, yeah, you've got to, I'm going to take him at home, too. Yeah, if this game was in Buffalo, I think it's Buffalo, but I, you know, it's in Kansas City, so.
All right, just going to wrap up around the NFL. Coming up next, Ben Johnson, the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, not the Gophers, Ben Johnson, talking a little bit of trash when he met the media today, introduced as the new head coach. I think that he cracked the joke and the joke fell flat. We get to that next year on the Lake Show. Ben Johnson was introduced today as the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. And something that they always talk about is winning the press conference. I don't think that that's a thing anymore. I don't think that that's a big deal anymore. We used to make it a big deal, but I'm going to tell you why it's not a big deal. I'm going to give you two names. Two names about the press conference, and it doesn't matter at all.
I think I know where you're going.
First off, we have Mr. Brewster here, Tim Brewster with the University of Minnesota. Him winning the press conference. And I guess he won the press conference and was terrible. Terrible. Right? Tim Brewster. And then the other person, do you want to guess?
Dan Campbell?
No, that's a good one.
Okay.
That's a really good one.
Biting kneecaps?
That was a good one.
Nick Sirianni?
Nick Sirianni
Nick
was
Sirianni,
the other one
okay.
that I was thinking of.
Okay.
Nick Sirianni was super nervous, and people were like, oh boy, this is going to be a cluster.
Yeah,
this is going to be terrible.
This guy's... He's not the guy, especially for Philadelphia.
Yeah,
like you can't be a nervous Nelly in Philly. They'll eat you up.
Yeah. So, but it hasn't played out to be true. Like we evaluate these guys, we look at the press conference, and that is not, and should not be a deciding factor as to whether this person is going to have success or not. Okay, so we have to just go ahead and get that out of our brains about this winning the press conference. But I will say this about Ben Johnson, who Ben Johnson deserves to be one of the top head coaching hires and candidates, and he's the head coach. He basically could pick where he wants.
Well, I like and that it's not a retread.
He could pick where he wanted to go, and he selected the Chicago Bears because it sounds like he could have went to like one of several different places. Good for him.
Yeah, Chicago's got, I mean, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze. Like,
they've
got
some
pieces.
Talent.
They got pieces.
Well, I believe in this audio that we're about to play, in the press conference, he's propping up the talent in the conference, in the division, okay? But it seemed like it was a joke at the end about the Packers that fell flat.
I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league, having competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Did anybody really laugh at that? Like, you heard a couple, like, but there was no chuckles. There was no gut laughing. Like, yeah, I'm not ripping Ben Johnson. It fell flat, though. We agree, because also we both saw the video of this, and he was smiling. I just think he didn't land the joke.
Yeah, and when you're talking to fans, I think it'll land. But when you're talking to media, media is a little more professional. It's a little more buttoned down. That's one of those that...
And it's Chicago.
Yeah, and he said it's... Listen, everybody enjoys beating the Packers, right? I mean, every team in the division. It's like the Packers are everyone's number one rival. I don't know who the Packers would consider their number one rival. Probably Chicago.
I don't think Detroit views the Packers that way, do they?
Well, maybe not, because...
I think Chicago, Minnesota, we do.
Yeah. I mean, I think Chicago, Green Bay is probably the rival more than Chicago, Minnesota, or Minnesota, Green Bay. I think just because of the history, because of the length of those two franchises being being in existence. But hey, I appreciate it. I think I'm looking at the video again right now. It's almost like he's side-eyeing everybody to.
Yeah.
There's got to be an applause meter. You know, I feel like that's what he's waiting on. You know. It didn't happen.
Oh man.
Either that, or you're looking for the laugh track.
Oh, he definitely didn't get that.
No, that's like a Three's Company thing.
Yeah, he did not get that. All right, Ben Johnson, good luck to you, man. Or not. All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And then we often hear conversations about helicopter parents crossing the line of sports. But we must address coaches, too. We get to that next.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All righty. Thanks for listening to The Lake Show here, News Talk 830 WCCO. You know, something that's interesting to me, when we talk about all the stuff that happens in sports, is in sports, we talk about these helicopter parents. And look, I'll be the first to raise my hand and be like, man, parents, stay out of the way. Stay out of the way. Like, if a coach is out of control, then yes, interject and say, you know what, look, you got to do right by my kid. Because it's your kid. But all this hovering around and trying to call plays and yelling at your kid from the stands and all that, like, ain't no coaching from the stands. You need to relax.
Coaches coach.
Let the coaches coach. If you got an issue, save it till after the game. Do something in private, whether it's a conversation with the coach about your kid, or if you need to say something to your kid, say it after. Leave all of that stuff out of it, okay? Because that's the worst thing in the world, is that a parent tries to do way too much when coaches are paid to coach. If you want your kid to be a part of a program, let the damn coach your kid.
Okay? Kids have to learn life lessons. You can't always sit there and fight the battles for them.
Yeah, you can't be controlling of things that you have no control over. All right, so with that being said, you should, to me at least, if you're a coach, you got to reel yourself in at times. And right now, we have a coach that has had a lot of success that I think for the first time is so under the microscope that people are looking at him and saying, dude, you're not what we thought you were. You're kind of a maniac. You're actually a little bit out of control. And that coach would be the University of Connecticut head coach, Dan Hurley. He, if you've watched him over the course of this season, and it's not like he became this way just this year. He's been this way. It's magnified now because of the success, and he probably feels like he can get away with more because he's been so successful.
Defending national champs?
Yeah, back-to-back.
Yep.
Back-to-back. Danny Hurley's got some cycle to him. And when I say cycle to him, I'm talking about like he has some Bobby Knight to him in that he's going to get in coaches' faces to try to intimidate. And there's a difference between those coaches who are fired up and who will, you know, get combative with officials, because there's different types of that, okay? Mm-hmm. There are like Bob Huggins. Bob Huggins was fiery. But Bob Huggins wasn't, to me, exactly like Bobby Knight. Like, Bobby Knight was the type that would get in a official's face and be like, damn it, I'm Bobby Knight. Like, Bob Huggins would get in their face and be like, man, you're calling a bunch of crap. There's a difference between you trying to big time an official and talk about how dare you not give me that call because I'm a Hall of Fame coach.
Like, I think you're right. I think you're right with Bobby Knight.
There's a difference between that and officials that just kind of lose their mind and they get upset and they get caught up in the game because the ego has gotten so out of control based on my success. Danny Hurley owned up to, because they beat Butler last night, 80-78. He was caught on camera telling an official, "Don't turn your back on me. I'm the best coach in the bleeping sport."
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Hurley, his ego is at an all-time high.
You can't act like that to officials.
Bro, you got to calm down. To me, and this is just, people can say that we're not at games to see the officials officiate, and we're not. We're not there for it to be the official show. I'll say this, though. If I was that official, I probably would have threw his ass out. I probably would have. I'm dead serious. You don't, as a grown man, don't talk to me like that.
It's disrespectful, and it's coming off as I'm better than you, and I know more than you. And what I do is right because I'm a national championship head coach.
And you're just a nobody.
And you're just a nobody official who's just doing this.
Yeah, that I don't like that.
Yeah, you can't big time it. Like, that just, yeah, that really, it bugs me in the sense that you should have some respect for it because, I mean, everybody's working their way up. And, yeah, this is big-time Division I athletics. But what kind of example are you setting for your students? And, I mean, I know they're young men. They're, you know, college basketball players. But even just the kids in the stands. Like, you're bringing families there. They're going to invest their money in UConn basketball. Is that really what you want to present to them, that your coach is being an a-hole to officials because of success? And I think we see it with a lot of coaches that have success. They start to get a little too big for their britches. And that, to me, it's a big problem.
Well, but this is the thing. I think the reason, so this is what he had to say outside of that comment, okay? Take a listen to this. He says that part of it is that the TV cameras focus more on him now.
Really?
He says, quote, "I just wish they put the camera on the other coach more. I just wish they would show these other coaches losing their minds at the officials in other Big East games that I'm coaching where I'm not talking to officials. I see the other coaches as demonstrative as I am. But the camera, obviously, I've created this for myself. I'm not the victim." Okay, so two parts to this. Oh my gosh. Two parts to this. If you acknowledge you're not the victim and you've created this situation yourself, then why are you trying to throw other coaches under the bus?
You're playing the victim.
That makes no good sense. And then the second point, and to me, this is the biggest point of all of this. You know the main reason why he's losing his mind and he's being more demonstrative? You know why? I'm going to tell you why.
Because they're losing?
Because they've lost three games this year.
Yep.
They lost three consecutive games this year. So that's the thing. It's not that when you look at this entire situation, that it's all of a sudden UConn, like, his behavior is any different. His behavior is slightly different, maybe, in terms of being a little bit worse due to the fact that, and by the way, UConn, they're 14-5. That's their record. They're 14-5. Okay, so they lost five games this year. They lost three games in a row at one point. It's because you are losing more games than you're accustomed to losing. So you are freaking out more, and you're trying to poo-poo it. No, don't poo-poo it. Just own it, man.
Yeah, when you're winning, that behavior is acceptable because it comes with success. When you're not winning, it just looks like you're a raving lunatic who's out of control. And there's a fine line between the two. It's acceptable until it's not. And he's like, I'm not the victim. Well, you're sure as hell acting like the victim. I mean, are we supposed to feel sorry for you? Here's the world's smallest violin playing a tune just for you, okay? I hate it when people are, it's like, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Like, there's no yeah, but, okay?
Sometimes it's a yeah, but not here.
No. Sometimes there is, but this is the this is a situation where.
Just own it.
Just own it.
Just like, own it.
You're trying to.
I've lost myself a few times here this year, and I need to just kind of chill out. For
be accountable. Be accountable.
For me to be a top tier coach, and for me to walk up to an official and say, "Don't turn your back on me. I'm the best coach in the bleeping sport." That's unacceptable.
How do you
just own that?
How
please.
Do you think an official, if they went up to him and said, "You know what? Don't berate me. I'm the best damn official in this game." Okay? I'm the best official running in this game right now. You think he'd like that?
No.
Probably not.
He'd probably lose it.
He would. Oh, God, I would love to see that.
Dude.
I would love to see that.
Just based on his behavior, I'm 100% certain that if he ever made it to the NBA, somebody would choke him out. So Latrell Sprewell would choke him out.
Maybe that's why he didn't take the Laker job. Maybe that's why.
Well, no, he didn't take the Laker job because he knew the real coach is LeBron James.
Yeah. Maybe LeBron.
And that he's not the best bleeping coach in the sport. LeBron James would have been his coach.
I feel like there's a Wayne Brady. Hey, LeBron got a choker, you know?
Exactly. Final segment of the Lake Show is coming up next. All right, final segment of the Lake Show. Let's see what happens here. Down the stretch they come. Timberwolves lead the Dallas Mavericks 101 to 100. They got about 5 minutes left in the game. I do want to mention this because I don't ever want us to be, as a society, numb to school shootings. There was another one in this country earlier today. A teen fatally shot another student at Antioch High School in Nashville. I've been to Antioch, is a suburb of Nashville, okay? One of my mom's friends from college, who passed away a couple of years ago, actually a year and a half ago, used to live there. She was married to a television star from the 70s, and they lived in Antioch. And so I visited them a time or two during college because I went to school clearly in Atlanta. But a female student was killed. Another student was wounded Wednesday in the shooting in the high school cafeteria. And this is nearly 2 years after another deadly school shooting in the city. I didn't want to go through this entire show and at some point not mention it. Because then we're numb to all this stuff. That we're not going to talk at all about the gun violence. We won't talk at all about our children losing their lives because of school shooting still. Now, the police chief, John Drake, said the shooter confronted a 16-year-old female student in the cafeteria, opened fire, and killed her.
Why? Why? Why are we still... Why are we the...
And then the shooter, the male student, he killed himself.
Why is this happening? Why don't our elected officials give a damn about it? Why don't they care enough to actually enact some common sense gun legislation? gonna come and take my guns.
Never been a thing.
You know?
Never going to be a thing.
But it's gonna be a thing to people who think it's gonna be a thing. It's not a thing. People coming to take
those people, I would say, point to where everybody's coming to get your guns. And if you can't pinpoint where everybody's coming to get your guns, then stop utilizing that as a talking point.
They've been coming to take your guns for years. The reality is, we've got too many damn school shootings, and children are not giving, they're not given the opportunity to live a full life. They're not given a chance to grow up and be adults because they're being snuffed out by school shootings. And that's okay, right? Because God, guns, other things, America, patriotism, whatever you want to call it. You care about your guns more than you care about kids. That's a problem. That's a problem. But the thing is, we talk about it. We can be upset about it. We be sad about it. Nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to change because we don't have people out there in positions that actually want it to change. There are officials out there that are perfectly fine with kids getting killed in schools. We're not those people. Some people out there, yeah, you know, my political party believes in gun rights. You can believe in gun rights, but you can also believe in protecting children. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. I know. Having a 14-year-old in the school system, nobody's immune to this.
I just,
sorry for the rant.
Hey man, you've got a kid in school. I totally get it. I used to work in schools for a long time. I just didn't work in a school for a year or two. Worked in schools for a long, long time, so. We'll talk back at you tomorrow at 6 p.m. right here on The Good Neighbor.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.